I know exactly what you're thinking. How is it when your boss asks you to do something, you're going to be successful when you don't know this technology? Well, what if I introduced you to a team who was very new to really high-end technologies, and they came out on the other side successful as well? Inspiring? Yes. And that's this episode of Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and hey, we've got a full house. We've got Adina, we've got Gavin, two of my favorite evangelists, and we've also got the Shelfie team. What does Shelfie do? That's what we're talking about today. All right, hey, let's begin with you, Adina. Adina, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, you are a evangelist in what location?
I'm in New York City.
You are in New York City. It's hopping in New York City. Adina, I am so happy to have you on the show. I can't even tell you that you have so much good energy. I love it. Now, are you okay now that you've had to spend so much time with Gavin?
I'm a little wounded, but considering we're on the same team, I've gotten kind of used to it.
Oh, Gavin's on the call.
I am. I'm here.
Adina, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your technical specialty? What do you like to do? Or
so,
is it changing?
Well, it's always changing, such is the nature of our job, but my technical specialties, plural, focus in VR, MR, and other types of immersive media, with HoloLens, as well as cross-platform development in game development and game design, as well as Xamarin and .NET Core. So open source technologies as well with .NET Core.
I want to be you when I grow up, Adina. This is terrific. I think, you know, having a little bit of being an expert in VR right now, you're on the cusp, man. This is about to become a VR world, I think. Don't you? Don't you even feel like Microsoft's about to announce something huge? I mean, I'm not revealing anything. I just feel it. Don't you feel it in the air?
This is a topic that would take up the rest of the show, so
well,
I don't know
yes,
what
no
an answer
question,
from
Adina. This is going to be a long show, I can feel already. Okay, this is now, Adina, when we start talking about Shelfie, I am super interested in talking about all the stuff that happened inside the Xamarin world, but not yet, not yet. I'm forced just by protocol to acknowledge that Gavin is here. Gavin Bowman. Now, Gavin, where are you, Gavin?
I'm based in sunny Boston right now.
Sunny Boston, a Microsoft technical evangelist. Gavin comes to us from sunny Boston. Nice. Well, welcome, Gavin. Man, it's awesome to have you on the show. I don't think I've ever had you on the show.
No, this is my first time here. I'm super stoked.
Awesome. Well, finally, we're going to make the grade now that we have the show. It's going to be awesome.
I feel like you've been skipping my name on the list intentionally, Jerry.
No, your people don't call my people. It's the weirdest thing.
Okay.
I try to work it all out. Now,
Make
the relationship so just I know what's going on. How did you connect with Brendan in the first place?
Yeah. So we actually met Brendan through my manager, Steve Ramsey. He introduced us. They happened to be local, and we love the mission that Brendan was trying to build, and that's connecting fundraisers in a digital way that, you know, previously, you know, you'll think about it as we talk about Shelfie. We'll know a little bit more. But you would have thought that this was a thing already, but it's totally not. He saw a need and he's filling it.
Man, it happens every time. I'm constantly wondering why these things don't already exist as people invent them. It's crazy. And it seems so straightforward and so great. All right. Enough talking about Brendan. Let's talk to Brendan. Hey, Brendan, you are, let's see. What city are you in, Brendan?
I'm in Wellesley, Massachusetts.
But you're not always in Wellesley, Massachusetts, are you?
Babson College in Wellesley, yes.
I got it. You're a student.
I am a senior, yes.
Oh, man. You're doing all of this while you're in school. Makes me feel like I just wasted my whole life. It's terrific.
No.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Brendan. What are you studying?
Yeah, sure. So like I said, I'm a senior and I'm studying business administration and I have a kind of intensive track in entrepreneurship. So everything I do is really hands-on learning rather than being lectured at. We're kind of going out and doing more things hands-on.
Nice. Wow. And so this was your brainchild. Shelfie just came to you in the night. You're taking a shower probably, right? And all of a sudden, there it is. There's Shelfie ready to go. And we know that on the call, there's five of us. There is Adina, of course, Gavin, there's you. And then we've also got none other than Nathan. Now, are you friends with Nathan? How did you bump into Nathan?
Yeah, sure. So my roommate is a partner at Rough Draft Ventures, and he also runs a nonprofit. And I connected him with a bunch of people, and he kind of asked me what I needed. And I said, I really would like to get on the Windows and Android platform. So he connected me to Nathan, and then the rest is history.
That's right. Yeah, you'd like to get on the Windows platform. I heard you say it. That's exactly right. And so they called you, Nathan. They called mm-hmm. you because they wanted to get on the Windows platform. Now, why would they call you to get on the Windows platform?
Well, so for the past 3 years, all my development work has been around a lot of like the ASP.NET MVC framework. So I was already really used to using C#. And, you know, right when I heard that there was an opportunity for Xamarin, I said, you know, it's a great time to learn a new technology and see where I can excel.
And now you're also a student, aren't you?
I am.
And where are you right now?
I go to Northeastern University, and I'm in my third year because we have the five-year program, but I'm studying computer science and math.
Now, you're not just any old student. You're a special student, especially in the Microsoft world. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, so just recently, as of this semester, I've become the Northeastern Microsoft student partner. So that's been a lot of fun. It's taken over my life, but in a good way. So doing a lot for that, doing a lot for Shelfie, and trying to stay on top of school. It's been a juggling act.
Yeah, there's a lot going on all at one time in your life right now. Now, MSP, Microsoft Student Partner, Microsoft has student partners in many, many, many universities, mm-hmm. including yours, of course, obviously. And just out of curiosity, obviously we're not here to talk about the MSP program, but in a couple of sentences, what's it like to be an MSP? What do they ask you to do?
So it ranges all the way from representing Microsoft as a brand on campus, but also trying to get other students, whether they be developers or people that just, you know, have soft skills, get them interested in any of the products that Microsoft offers. So it's really cool to be able to say, hey, there's this technology that I've been using for Microsoft that I love, and, you know, I want to make sure I can share it with a lot of other people so that they can also, you know, use it to their best.
Yeah, and it's a heck of a resume bullet, if you don't mind me just tossing that in there, too.
It is.
I always fudge it a little bit. It's sort of like when I write down numbers and I just kind of blur them so nobody gets the exact thing right. Right. Mm-hmm. For MSP, you're like the most important intern at Microsoft. That's the way I put it down.
Thanks.
Well, man, I could tell you're a terrific MSP. I mean, I love talking to MSPs because they have the enthusiasm. I mean, it's all right there. And enough about you. Okay, now we're gonna go back and we're gonna talk to Brendan. Brendan, the whole show, we want to talk about Shelfie. We know this is a terrific idea of yours. Gavin gave us a hint. Tell us what it is, just at a business level.
Yeah, sure. So Shelfie actually stands for Share Yourself. And what we're doing is creating fundraising, photo, and video campaigns for nonprofits with the ultimate goal of enhancing awareness, engagement, and retention around these causes. And what the ultimate goal, kind of based on that, is building communities around these causes.
Is building community around these causes. Now, where does technology come in, and why isn't this already happening? What's in the way?
Sure. So kind of the biggest inspiration was watching the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Two things they didn't do really well is, one, the centralization of it. So it really wasn't on a platform altogether. It was kind of among multiple social media feeds. And then based on that, their retention rates weren't that great, so they weren't actually getting second donors. And then the second problem they didn't really focus on that we're trying to capitalize on is the awareness factor. And many people don't know what ALS still is, and it's the degenerative nerve disease, which causes tingling sensations, and ice on your skin actually gives you that sensation. So they're trying to give you a glimpse into their world.
Man, that is awesome. And man, how bold are you to say the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge wasn't successful? But in a lot of ways, you can see how it was crazy successful, and they totally missed out on a huge opportunity as well.
Yes, so I'm saying it was wildly successful, but it could have been even more successful if people understood what the actual cause was.
What if they had just used Shelfie? Wouldn't that have been a lot easier?
Well, hopefully, yes. And again, that comes to the whole community factor, where you get like-minded individuals together who are tackling similar problems to put their brain power together and solve them together.
All right. Take me back in time, but bring everything we've got with us. What would the Ice Bucket Challenge look like? How would it be different if we were able to use Shelfie?
Yeah, sure. So one of the kind of misnomers is we have, it's very similar to a web page. So when you sign in, the nonprofit has a page dedicated to them. So it'll tell you what the nonprofit is, what their mission aligns with, and where the money will actually be funded. There'll be a fundraising tracker to tell you how much they initially want to raise, so you're not kind of blindsided and find out how much was raised beyond. And then probably the biggest factor along with the fundraising is a social impact report to follow up with you to tell you exactly what kind of impact you had on an individual and a community level. And then the other factor is you're not only sharing this kind of content with your friends, but other people who are really interested in this cause and trying to initially defeat it.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that would have been so meaningful. I did the Ice Bucket Challenge, and when I shared it out, sure, I only shared it out to the small handful of people that are in my community. Certainly didn't get that grasp of a larger community because it was all shared through Facebook and Twitter and just whatever you happen to have, not some big motion that everybody could just join part of. That's very cool. Gavin, you do the Ice Bucket Challenge?
I did not. I was dared to do it, and I said no because I didn't want to be doused with a bucket of ice water. I instead just donated like a plebeian.
It's okay. Man, if you had only had Shelfie, you would have been so motivated. Adina, did you do the Ice Bucket Challenge?
Nope. I sat that one out because it looked incredibly unpleasant.
Well, I'm right there with you. Nathan? Save the day. Did you do the Ice Bucket Challenge?
No, I did not.
just make it up. Nobody's going to know. All right. I appreciate all of your honesty.
I can't do that.
You all would have had you only been part of this giant network
exactly.
That was able to do.
Definitely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Nathan, set us up. This is just about to begin. You get a call or some sort of connection, right? And they're like, hey, we've got this thing. Where did it start? What technology did we begin with on the field, right? What was your experience?
Well, so it was a little interesting. Brendan and I talked about how we were going to be going down to the Microsoft Hackfest in a couple, I think it was like 2 to 3 weeks. And our first task was looking over the old iOS code. And as someone who, you know, hasn't had any experience with that, it was fun, but also excruciating to delve into trying to work with a lot of the Mac products that I haven't worked with for years. So kind of looking over the old code, looking what we need to do when we got to Microsoft so that we could, you know, hit the ground running. And in the process, we had to upgrade to Swift, and that didn't go well. And we basically spent the couple weeks, I know Gavin could attest to this on the first day, we were banging our heads trying to work with Swift and work with the old code and see what we could port right over to Xamarin.
So I've got a project. So it must have started in Objective-C.
Yeah.
And you're upgrading then to, which is paint. Well, right. That's almost like talking about COBOL anymore. It's hilarious how things have changed in such a short amount of time.
We're like, exactly.
Are you ridiculous? Yeah. And so so it starts with Objective-C. The natural thing is we've got to upgrade this to Swift. We have these other applications, these other platforms that we have to hit. What are their technologies? Now we need to duplicate the effort over there. Mm-hmm. Adina, what do? You come in and you're like, now, wait a minute. There must be a better way.
So after messing around with Swift for a bit, we did try. We gave it a real effort. We decided to
let's call it the college try.
The old college and just graduated college try for me and Gavin. We decided to just jump right into Xamarin and look at what was built on iOS and what could we build on Xamarin and try to replicate it, what we have. We made a whole chart. We graphed it all out of what exactly we wanted each page to look like and how would the user experience look like, and then try to build from there.
So, Brendan, you give me all of your code. The first thing I say is we got to rewrite it all in this new technology called Xamarin. What did you think?
Yeah, so this was – the first day was really interesting because we pivoted after sincere frustration. But the good thing was is the back end was still built, so it was a little easier for the front end to get connected. But iOS was just kind of a mess because we were upgrading from Swift 2 to, I think, 2.3, and all the syntax changed, and no one there was an iOS developer, so we're like, yeah, we just probably shouldn't do this. So we just kind of pivoted and started fresh on Xamarin Apps, and we get a really nice prototype by the end of the week.
The end of the week. Good job, Nathan. I'm proud of that. That's impressive.
Wasn't just me.
No, it never is. Never is. It takes a village to write software, no doubt about it. Now, Gavin, the back end was already in place, he said. What kind of back end did we have?
So yeah, it was a Ruby on Rails backend sitting in AWS, and we wanted to incorporate some Azure mobile services for authentication because we knew that would make, you know, multiple client auth really easy. So you could sign in with Google, you could sign in with Facebook. We were like, yeah. And so we knew how to do that with Azure, of course, right? So we were like, yeah, can we get this over? And Brendan's just like, Brendan, I feel like he left halfway through the hackathon and replaced himself with a sign that said yes. So we got no
just
we got
it.
No no's from him. He was like, yeah, make it happen. So we try, and then we find out that there at this time, there's no support for Azure Web Apps and Ruby. And we're already halfway through the migration process at this point. We find out it's not going to work. So we pivoted again.
Gave up. We pivoted again.
Never
give up. Never surrender.
We made it happen, but we didn't do it via the PaaS offering, right? We ended up kicking up another virtual machine in Azure, migrating the services over there. And we had to find out every service that we were using in AWS and find out how to map that to a service in Azure, which was challenging. By the end of the first day, I turned over to the client side work and I said, you know what, we're not going to get this to happen, guys. This is going to take the whole brunt of the hackathon just doing this. And he's not here on the call, but Greg, another tech evangelist on the West Coast, disappeared for like half a day. And he didn't have to be there. So I was like, oh, Greg just left us. He gave up.
Right.
He comes back last day with the full backend migrated over like a gem. Just hands it to us. It was beautiful.
So it can be done. He just proved it can be done.
And it was done. Yes, he's amazing. Yeah.
So you might have to dedicate an entire half day to it, but you can do it.
I think the word is black magic.
Oh, yes, really?
Yes, we called it black magic for like the entire hackathon.
Oh, dark arts.
So the situation was on AWS we have a VM. We want that same VM running in Azure, and we just need to – can't you just save out the VM and just load it up in Azure?
In some instances you can if all of your resources are sitting in that VM, right? But in this instance, we had AWS, we had their own relational database system configured. They had a PostgreSQL situation going on. We had to figure out how to clone all of that using our own services, and that's why it took that full half day.
Okay.
And from there, it's actually opening that VM up to the rest of the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. All right. So we've got the back end inside VM here. Everything's running on Ruby on Rails and ready to go. The nice thing is the Ruby on Rails side of stuff didn't have to be rewritten or changed, obviously. It's just sitting inside a VM executing the way you want. And then, Dina, tell me a little bit about the front end. So you said you laid down the mapping of what you wanted all the screens to look like. Then tell me about the level of effort.
Quite the effort. Neither Nathan nor I had ever done this before. I'm not an artist. I'm not a UI UX designer, not even a little bit. So we were looking at like what we had at our disposal, and we used some list views, Xamarin list view. List views are great. We really wanted to customize the list views, and then realized we would have to make a custom view, and we're like, maybe not. One of our views was a grid, but more like a grid and a grid and a grid and a grid to make it all boxed out really nice. We kind of took a little bit of inspiration of somewhere between Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook.
Sure.
So like for like the user profile, so that we had like a nice like user picture in the center, but then like all of the like images gridded out below it.
Nice.
So, yeah, you know, it was fun.
Well, tell me about Xamarin Forms. So as you're building this out in Xamarin Forms, obviously you're going to hit things you don't know. Obviously things are going to be difficult. Where did you go for support? Where did you go to find answers to questions you were hitting?
Well, because of the scenario we were in, the answer is actually the room next door. We were hacking with a whole bunch of other groups, doing a whole bunch of other projects. So we had a bunch of Xamarin experts there. So we just kind of went, hey, expert, you know the answer to this. We had to go for help, because we were doing things very stupid. You know, such as the way of whenever you use new technology that you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, that's why refactoring was invented, right?
Right.
I suppose. Yeah. All right. Nathan, what do you think? You're going into Xamarin Forms. Was this a good choice?
I would definitely say it was. At the beginning, there are certain things that we look at and we say, you know, we want this, but Xamarin Forms might not be able to exactly get it. But I feel, and that was one thing, was our grid view. We wanted to have, you know, a scrollable, where we had multiple boxes on multiple levels where we could scroll through them, but also click on each one individually. And that's not something that's given out of the box or Xamarin Forms. So, you know, at first you're looking at it like, maybe we should do something custom. Maybe we should do like a custom render for Android and for iOS. But then after we spoke to Nick, he gave us really good inspiration. Say,
Nick
hey,
in the other
grid.
Room, I assume. Yeah. Nick Landry in the other room.
Yes. Yep, Nick Landry, yes. And he was able to say, hey, just, you know, put a grid inside of a grid inside of a grid. And we made our box look really well. It scrolls really nicely. It gave us all the functionality we want. And it's really nice to look back on Xamarin Forms as being something that's completely cross-platform at the end of the day. So even though it might not give you the functionality out of the box, the functionality is there as long as you know how to tweak it and bend it.
What were you debugging in? Were you debugging in Android or are you debugging in Windows?
I was debugging in Android. Constantly.
You were debugging it in Android.
Yeah, and
I used Windows.
You use Windows, Kevin. Yes, nice. Your blood runs blue. That's nice. Now, so it's beautiful. Now, you tell me, Nathan. I think it's beautiful. You debug and write the whole thing for Android, and then you're like, now let's just run it on. Let's just run it on a Mac real quick, right? And there it is. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And so there it is, ready to go. And was it enough to retire the original iOS application?
Not yet, actually. We're right on the cusp of that, but not yet. We're just trying to get some more of the finalized with like the custom designs, because some of the stuff in the iOS has been put through. I think, Brandon, you can speak more on this with a professional designer. So,
But what do you think, Brendan?
Yeah, sure. So the iOS is definitely ahead, but we're trying to catch the Xamarin platform up. A lot of the new, we have kind of new innovative design we're trying. So rather than a nav bar on the bottom, we're doing an ellipsis that slides the screens left to right with kind of a hamburger menu for the additional features you might not need necessarily right off the bat. So we're trying to implement that now, and that will be interesting to implement with Xamarin Forms as well.
Yeah.
Now, Brendan, talk to me a little bit about it. How appealing is this now? Once everything catches up and you're like satisfied with what it's actually accomplishing, you need to find developers with just a single skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now we're really building out our team for the summer. So last summer I lived in San Francisco in a Hacker House. So I'm trying to kind of replicate that in Cambridge. So I want to actually live with my team, and we've been heavily recruiting. Other than the team we have a lot of applicants from Harvard, MIT, and Stanford, and we're trying to kind of base that team in Cambridge. And then, like you're talking about, is find people that are either C# and Java or Swift and Ruby on Rails.
Yeah, right. Now, the Ruby on Rails side, what was the database solution there, Gavin? What'd you switch over to?
Oh, yeah. So we ended up moving it over. We ended up using an Azure VM, and we just kicked up an instance of MySQL on that VM. So it ended up being a little simpler, but we had to clean, and then we had to move and then clean to make sure that there was no leftover weird data on either side. But yeah, that was pretty much what we ended with. And it's okay. still the Ruby on Rails application that it was before.
Oh yeah, nice. Very nice. Now, walk me through one last time, Brendan. Tell me the features of Shelfie and the things that you see today and that when we start looking at it, we'll kind of experience as well.
Yeah, sure. So imagine kind of signing in, and then you'll have a home screen of all the challenges you're following, which will only be populated once you go to the second screen, which kind of the initial instructions will tell you. So you'll go to the page, you'll see a list of nonprofits hosting those challenges with kind of a one-line pitch about what the challenge actually is. If you're interested, you click on that, and that's where we get into the part where I mentioned earlier where it's like a web page. So it will tell you about the nonprofit, contacts if you're a little skeptical about donating, the fundraising tracking, as well as kind of a feed of the photos or videos that are being submitted. And then it's kind of gamified, which we haven't talked about. I think I haven't mentioned much publicly. And it's kind of exciting. So a lot of people are into March Madness. So the way we're doing it is competing. So the top photos will then enter a bracket system, and users get to vote and see who goes to the next layer of the bracket. And then you'll actually be able to win profile achievements as well as physical prizes from the actual nonprofit.
Oh, cool. And then the nonprofit gets to decide what kind of game that their users are going to play, right? Everybody gets a little bit different experience that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, very nice. Now, tell me a little bit about the future of Shelfie. Where are things headed, do you feel like?
Yeah, sure. So we talked about kind of building up the team. So we're actually launching a GoFundMe campaign for $20,000 with a series of rewards tomorrow, which is really exciting. And then, yeah, so we'll be doing that. I've been working hard at that, building up the video, and then adding to the team with that money, and then finalizing the iOS as well as the Xamarin so that we can actually launch. And ideally, we'd like to hold a beta at the end of March or early April, and then prepare for an early summer launch.
Cool. Nathan, what do you see next on the technology side? So now you build it up to be in parity, you start making it so it's fully developed, but what are some of the things you anticipate coming?
One of the big things is I want to, since we're going to be launching the Android version on Xamarin, we want to really clean up a lot of like the UI views. Again, we spoke about a little bit more refactoring because there are some things that, you know, we might have done, you know, really quickly because we did it over the Hackfest, and some things we did after the Hackfest that we did more melodical. Yeah. But at this point, there's a lot more refactoring to go about, and then of course testing. And I guess my favorite part was coming in as a web developer, seeing XAML and all the stuff it could do. I've really enjoyed working with Xamarin XAML. It really blew me away. And I was telling Adina and Gavin that I want to try to make it a lot more, I guess, user-friendly and make it look a lot better. Because Xamarin Forms, I feel like you can do a lot with, after you take the default Android and the default system styles, you can do a lot more on top of that. So that's where a lot of my work's going to be, is doing a lot more of the custom design work.
Isn't it crazy? The shortcuts you take work on every platform.
Yeah.
Cross-platform hacks right here at your disposal. It's pretty great. Gavin, you're now the UI guy. I didn't realize that you were on both parts of it, getting all this together. How long was the hackathon?
Oh, it was 3 days? 3 days, guys. Yeah, the 19th through the 22nd of November. Yeah, so I was technically the lead, but I was just floating between everything. So it was definitely a learning experience for me. It was crazy.
You know what? I tell you what's inspiring about this whole thing is just the fact that you guys are, you're not like 500 years worth of experience all built up, ready to just knock out the app with technology you've done 1,000 times. Right? And so here I'm a developer watching the show, and I'm like, man, this is, wait, what? You guys are new to this too? Wait, what? You did this in how many days again? Crazy, right? That is so awesome that this is able to come together. And obviously, you're not going to have a fully polished, ready-to-go-to-market, you know, application in 3 days. But that is amazing that you can come to a point where you're like, this is a validated direction. We absolutely can go this direction and be comfortable that this is where we can grow. This is where we can go the next level. It's pretty sweet. Nathan, great job, man.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But
Nathan taught me something during that hackathon, by the way. So I need to throw this out there. I'm a Java guy through and through. I came from, you know, Java, love my Android, all that good stuff. And so
that's why I called you blue-blooded.
Yeah, you know, totally blue-blooded. Mm-hmm. So this was, you know, one of my first big production style projects with C#, where I actually got to work with a team and do stuff, and it was a lot of fun. And Nathan, having had a .NET background, teaches me about this black magic querying system you people have called Link. It is amazing. It's like butter, man. It was the response we were getting from the server when we were trying to authenticate was just this huge JSON message, like, and there's stuff everywhere, and I'm just like, how am I going to parse this? And he comes in, well, there's this where option. One line of code gets it done, and I just stand there with my jaw wide open. It was awesome. So great job on that, Nathan.
Thanks. And let me just back you up and say Link really is awesome. And how crazy it is that I forget that it's awesome. I take it for granted now, and I forget to just bring it up as one of those unbelievably compelling things, right? It really is astounding. It's glad you brought it up.
Yes, we don't have that in Java land. I'm a believer now. You got me. Jeez.
There are other features of C# which are also nice. We'll just leave it at that. Adina, hey, thanks for being on this project and on the show. It sounds like it was a pretty awesome success.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great opportunity. I'm so glad I got to work with Brendan and Nathan. I'm glad I'm going to continue to work with them. We actually have a mobile DevOps mini hack on next week that we're going to be working on together, incorporating Hotkey app and making a value stream map of Shelfie.
Nice. Taking Shelfie to the next level. Very cool. Brendan, I'm interested. Other people on the call might be interested. How do they learn a little more about Shelfie? Where do you point them?
Yeah, sure. So our website is somewhat static, and I would even call it stealth. So it's probably not as informative as someone would actually like. So we're working on building out that website. And I think contacting me directly, I'm on my email most of the day, so I'm very happy to kind of inform
people.
What's your
personal cell phone number? No, just kidding. Don't give it to me.
I would. Fine with me. It works.
555. Yeah, exactly. So there's a website out there, but some love is coming to it before anything there.
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, it's somewhat informative.
Somewhat informative is off the charts compared to zero. So that's pretty great.
Yes.
That's pretty great.
True.
Brendan, thanks for putting this together, right? Thanks for coming up with Shelfie and being inspired like that. I could tell a guy like you has a lot of good ideas in an entrepreneurial program. No doubt there are more things that are coming around as well. And hey, thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having this. It's been great.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Nathan. We'll see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thank you.
All right. See you, evangelists.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.